Good morning. I don't have a text per se to read to you this morning. We're going to be in a lot of different places, but just if you'll keep in mind the wonderful text from Joshua we read this morning. Now, this last May, my wife and I were spending a few nights at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. On the night of the 18th, I, like many nights, was experiencing hours of what I like to call blessed insomnia. There's nothing like the nighttime hours to find a little quietness and tranquility. So looking forward to a bit of undisturbed reading, there on the 18th, I pulled on my blue jeans and slippers and went down to that deserted lobby of that famous old hotel, which, by the way, has become a little bit shabby. But that's okay. It's old. Now, I was completely alone except for the doorman. And unbidden, he brought me a piping hot cup of black coffee. It was just wonderful. There's absolutely... it couldn't have been better. Now, before I did anything that morning, I opened my daily light at the morning reading. And there on May 18th were the readings from about our God being a God of life. And one of the text references was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, where the Apostle Paul tells us that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. What a glory. Well, at that I had to stop. Here I was in Israel, and I'd been thinking of the shofar, or the trumpet that the Israelites would use. And I thought to myself, oh, to hear the sound of that trumpet. Down through Israel's history, those ram's horns or trumpets are repeatedly referenced. And here Paul speaks of the trumpet sounding even as the saints are changed in an instant. Oh, to hear the sound of it each day. On that last day, the call of the trumpet will call you and I to life. Life. The call of the trumpet will call us to God Himself. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear the future sounding of that trumpet even now, each day, as it would call us to life, call us to a readiness for that life that is soon coming? We can hear it by faith. Now, we talk about seeing by faith. You think you could hear by faith? So I'm just saying here, to begin, about that last trumpet that will sound. We can listen to it by faith. We can hear it by faith. But we have to listen. So this morning I'd like to go from that thought to a brief survey, very brief survey, of where trumpets are sounded in the Bible. So let's begin with Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. If you'd like to turn there, you can, or I'll just read it to you. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. So on that day, the great day of Christ returns, the whole universe will hear the sound of that ram's horn. And there will be a gathering. Now here in Nacogdoches, we have a blueberry farm. Y'all ever been to that blueberry farm where you could pick your own blueberries? It's wonderful. It's just right out that way somewhere. I've been there. I couldn't get there again, but I've been there. And it's a wonderful thing. You pay by the pound. It's the honor system. They give you a bucket. And you gather blueberries. By the way, you could eat all you want to as you gather. Boy, I cost them. Because I ate as much as I gathered. Anyway, but we gathered. That's what will happen on that great day. There will be a gathering. This is one of the key features of the trumpet sounding in the Scripture. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13 reads, "And it will come about in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and who were scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." A gathering. Here the idea is clear. The trumpet sound will be a call to the people of God to gather together. A great trumpet will sound and they will be gathered together, his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now that's a big blueberry farm that God will gather his people from all over the earth. He will gather people. And I can say right here, he will gather people from the most surprising places. He will gather them. There'll be a sound of a trumpet. Everyone will hear it. Now, this idea of gathering is implicit in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 19. We're preaching through Hebrews, but it'll be a decade before we get there. Listen to what it says. "For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, to a blazing fire, and to the darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and to the sounds of words, which sounds was such that those who heard it begged no further words should be spoken to them." Now, I just broke into the midst of the author of Hebrews' talk here, and he says, you're not coming. He's referencing the Exodus. When God told Moses, "Now, y'all get ready here. I'm going to take you up to that mountain. You'll hear the sound of the trumpet, and you go up to the mountain. Don't even touch the mountain. You stay far away. You don't even touch a rock of that mountain." It was and that's indeed what happened. There was the sound of a trumpet, and the people came. They came to hear a word from God. Not merely a word from Moses, but from God himself. And you know what they thought that day? "We don't want any more of that. We want Moses. Moses, you do the talking." It was just too much. But you and I don't live in that day. There's no Moses to stand between us and God. We are to hear God. Listen to his scripture. Listen for his voice. Listen for his guidance in our life. But the trumpet sounded, to gather the people to listen. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain, says in Exodus chapter 19. Now, the idea of gathering is also implicit in 1 Thessalonians. It says there in chapter 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. We've got a lot of shouting going on here in Scripture. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, what a great gathering will be accomplished at that last trumpet when we all get to heaven. I think there's a hymn that kind of goes like that. What a glory that will be. We'll all see what, who? Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. So, well, you'll remember how I began this morning. This trumpet will call us to life. The second coming of Jesus is not the end of things. It's not as if God is now finished. Rather, it is as my wife says, if anything, God was just gearing up. The earthly existence will be a moment compared to the glory, the eternal glory that's coming. It's the end of earthly existence. But if anything, God is gearing up. I like that. To believe that the second coming is the end is earth. I'm going to tell you something. This sounds very modern. It's earth-centric. To believe that somehow when Jesus comes back, it's the end. That's an earthly way of thinking about it. It's earth-centric. It's old age-centric to think that God is finished with earth history. Oh, he is, but that isn't what the second coming is about. It's eternity that's coming. Let me repeat, at the sounding of that last trumpet, if it means anything, it means God is gearing up for the new thing. And we, you and I in this room, will be gathered to a wonderful newness by the sounding of that trumpet. And it'll be a call to life. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 says, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write these words, for they are faithful and true. Now, I had a very young Christian say to me once, he says, oh, and he was dead serious, and it made me love him. Just a childlike Christian. Oh, don't let me miss the sound of that trumpet, he said. This was years and years ago. He says, I don't want to miss the second coming. Will you make sure I don't miss it? Talking to me. He says, I don't want to be left behind. And I told him he need not worry. He would hear the sound of that trumpet. And we all would be gathered together at its sounding. Now, at this point, I'd like to look at the book of Revelation. The Apostle John was on the island of Patmos. You remember that? The scripture says he was in the Spirit on that Sunday. And the Apostle John says, I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. John at this point turns to see the voice that was speaking to him. Now, did John hear words? I think so. But here the words were so clear and so piercing that they called to him like the sound of a trumpet. It was a trumpet-like speech. There have been men down through the ages who could speak to man and it would just shake them right down to their core. Well, Jesus spoke to John the Apostle that way. It was like the sound of a trumpet. In many ways, the Apostle John was gathered up on that day, or called to God that Sunday morning, to a specific and clear purpose. The calling of God was upon him, and the book of Revelation would be written. But it all began with the sound of that trumpet. Down through the church's history, various saints have heard the call of that trumpet-like voice, and they were never the same. I think of Timothy when Paul warned him to be careful to fulfill his service. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Now, before we leave this point, each one of us should be careful before the Lord when it comes to the calling of God in our lives. This is not just for ministers of the gospel. Now, it includes them, but it's for all of us. The calling of God is on our life. God says to Timothy through Paul, no soldier in active service entangled himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, this idea of soldier stuff brings us to the second great meaning of the phrase of the sounding of a trumpet. It is a gathering together, not just gathering, you know, blueberries or people to a meeting, but is a gathering for war. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will bend Judah as my bow. I will fill the bow with Ephraim. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece. And I will make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go like lightning. And the Lord God will blow the trumpet, and will march in the storm winds of the south, and the Lord will defend them. That is Israel. In this passage, the sound of the trumpet or the ram's horn is the gathering for war. Now, Paul doesn't say, he's just an offhand remark, and I'm just going to quote it to you. If the trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? Good question, isn't it? Now, the Feast of Trumpets, let's go from Paul back to the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. In the festival of the celebration, And here's Moses talking about the establishment of the Feast of Trumpets. Y'all heard of the Feast of Trumpets? It's in the fall of the year. And it says it'll be a festival, a celebration, a day for the blowing of trumpets, or as a day of signaling. Now in the seventh month, that is in the fall of the year, on the first day of the month, you shall also have a holy convocation, and you shall do no laborious work, and it will be for you a day of the blowing of trumpets. That sounds like a cheerful day. Or if you could translate it this way, it will be a day for signaling. Now the shofar, that ram's horn trumpet, no melody was possible. I haven't tried it, and I'm not very good with melodies anyway, but that's what they tell me. You could just do tone sounds, just you couldn't change them. But with long and short soundings, messages could be given, like Morse code. A long sound. Oh, I wish I had a shofar trumpet this morning. I would show you. Maybe one day. There'd be a long sound, and then several short sounds, and then another long sound, and repeated short sounds. It would be a festival for the blowing of trumpets, or a festival of signalings. Now, I don't want to overstress this, but it's all very militaristic. That sounding of the trumpet was for messages. Now, again, I don't want to make too much of it, but I think I'm okay here. If we walk in God's Holy Spirit, we'll hear from Him. We'll hear guidance from Him. This is the way, walk in it. Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to thee I lift up my soul. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you to turn to the right or to the left. Would you like messages like that? In the heated day of battle, the commander, the head of the army, could communicate with his troops with the sounding of the shofar. The army understood with the blast of the trumpet in short and long codes. With those codes, the commander of his army could communicate to them in the heat of battle. Now, sometimes you and I are in the heat of battle. Have any of y'all ever been in the heat of battle? I mean, you could hardly hear anything. You're so upset by life and what's going on or whatever. You know, you think of a battle. But the sounding of that trumpet, the head of the army can communicate to you. Isn't that wonderful? Now you'll recall the days of Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. We just listened to it. The saints marched around the walled city, and on the last day there would be a blowing or sounding of the ram's horns. And every good child, just like Tom said it, knows this story. And we know what happened at the sound of the trumpet and the shouting of the children of Israel. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Now we know who fought for Israel that day. The captain of the host of God's army, Jesus Himself, fought for them. Joshua had an encounter with this Jesus. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" And the man said to him, "No, rather, indeed, I come now as the captain of the Lord of hosts. Do you want God to be on your side? Let me tell you how to do that. You be on His side. But who fought for Israel that day when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down? Our king, the captain of the Lord's armies. Now Jesus is the head of God's armies. Now, in truth, Jesus has enemies and He will ultimately deal with them as the captain of the host of the Lord. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, but He is also a warrior king. And I'm going to read to you a little cluster of Revelation text. And all of them tell us that Jesus, He is the Prince of Peace, but He is a warrior king. Listen to these texts as I read them to you. And at Jesus' right hand, He held seven stars. And out of His mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And His face was like the sun shining in its strength. That's Revelation 1:16. Just above it, it says, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him." Even so, amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, "And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 17. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and his head are many diadems. He has a name written upon him, which no one knows but except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth came a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written," listen, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The Shah of Iran had that on himself. Did you know that? Where is the Shah of Iran? Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Christians should have this foremost in their minds. Jesus is the King. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord and Master of Masters. No man can claim to be your head and master. Did you know that? No man. Your elder, your pastor, your bishop, the president, the governor, or king. No man can stand in Jesus' place. Our loyalty and indeed our responsibility as individuals and as a congregation here is to Jesus, the captain of the Lord's armies. It was for freedom that Jesus set us free. And we as a people have been set free from sin and bondage, and we should never again submit to the yoke of any bondage. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And just one little aside. One of the great tragedies of England, and I say this with humility, is when that great empire made their king the head of the Church of England. They still call the Queen the head of the church. That was a tragic thing to have happen. The Puritans fought against it and resisted it, but somehow now, the concept of the sounding of these trumpets, I'm off the point, aren't I? Now, the concept of the sounding of trumpets in warfare is rich and deep. All through the Scripture. I've barely scratched the surface. But let me quote from Revelation. And the sounding of the seven trumpets that's contained there in the book of Revelation. Says in Revelation chapter 8, I'm not going to read you all of it. I'll just read the first eight verses. Then the seven trumpets, it says that the Lamb opened the seventh seal. We won't talk about that. And there was silence in heaven. For about a half an hour. Does silence make you nervous? There was silence in heaven for a half an hour. This is Romans chapter 8. Then I saw seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And I'm just going to stop right there. We have the after that, you have the trumpet sounding, and it's repetitious. And as each trumpet is sounded, these are war trumpets. God is now doing to the earth. Listen to what he did with Jericho. The trumpets are sounding. And I've skipped it all, but there's seven total soundings. The last three are called woes, which means it's really bad. If you think that first stuff was tough, the last one are called woes. Now, that was just the first part I read for you was Revelation chapter 8. Now we're going to go to the end of the sounding of those trumpets. Revelation chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. But in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Isn't it amazing to speak of that in past tense? Wow. We speak of it in future tense. They're going to say this in past tense. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for the rewarding of your servants, the prophets and the saints, and for those who fear your name, both great and small, and for the destroying of the destroyers of the earth." That was the sound that came at the sound of the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. Now, what do these last seven trumpets mean? And I have just three little points to make here. The seven trumpets are God's answer to his saints Listen, the seven trumpets are God's answer to the saints' question in Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. How long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? God's people are in terrible straits today. We live in hog heaven, I do. But there are saints who suffer horribly, and they pray, how long? Well, those trumpets are God's answer. The captain of the Lord of hosts is coming. When you ask how long, God's answer, it'll be at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. That's how long. God knows we wait on Him. God is not unaware of the evil and injustice on this earth. He's aware of it. You'll remember that the conquest of the Holy Land in Joshua's day was as much a judgment as it was anything else. We think, oh, that's when the people got the Promised Land. It was as much a judgment as it was that. Joshua taking of the Promised Land did not take place until the iniquity of the Amorite was full. When you and I pray for the appearing of Christ at His second coming, and we should pray for it, we should say, Maranatha, Maranatha, come quickly. We must remember with soberness that we will be delighted at His appearance, but others will mourn. For His appearing will be the end of the age of grace. Point two, the seven trumpets in some ways demonstrate that God restrains His ultimate wrath to allow for repentance. There are seven trumpets. They vary. You read them. But He allows, those seven trumpets allow for a time of repentance. But for the most part, mankind merely hardened their hearts at the sounding of those trumpets. Revelation reads very much like the Old Testament in the days of Pharaoh, when Pharaoh hardened his heart, determined to keep the children of Israel captive in Egypt. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor did they give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see, hear, or walk, nor did they repent of their murders and their sorceries and their sexual immorality or their thefts. The sounding of those seven trumpets, in some ways, was an allowance for repentance. Time and time again, men are heedless to the sound of those trumpets. You know, God's still with a people when they repent at suffering. But when they raise their voice at their suffering against God, that's a terrible day. The seventh trumpet proved human stubborn intractability. Seven trumpets prove that even under severe discipline, men will bow up to their own destruction. In Jesus' first coming as Savior of the world, men refused God's kindness in the advance of His Son. And as Jesus' entire life here on earth proved, they ignored God's kindness. It says in 1 John, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and men did not comprehend it. Men willfully and blindly resisted God's kindness in Jesus' day. Indeed, men in the face of overwhelming evidence resisted what God was doing in Christ. I marvel when I read the account of Lazarus. Do you? The leaders of Israel at the time saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, and what did they do? What's it say? Sharon, what did they decide to do? They decided to kill Lazarus and kill Jesus. This is the response to God's kindness in Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is raised from the dead, and the soldiers come back and they tell the leaders of Israel, this is what happened. The angel came and rolled away the stone, and we were knocked out like dead men. And what is their reaction to the news of this? Listen, what I tell you, what we're going to do. We're going to pay you money to say that the disciples came and took the body away. Man, it says, at the sounding of these trumpets, mankind did not repent. They did not repent at God's kindness as it's coming in Jesus, and they did not repent at God's discipline at the sounding of the trumpets. The stories of Scripture teach us so much about men's heart. But let me repeat what I said earlier. The sounding of the seven trumpets is not the end. It's just the beginning. Listen to what Bunyan says. And there came out from the city at that time to meet them several of the king's trumpeters, clothed in white and shining raiment, who with melodious noises and loud noises made even the heavens to echo with their sound. These trumpeters saluted Christian and his friend Faithful with 10,000 welcomes. And this they did with shouting and the sound of trumpets. I tell you, listen, it's one of the greatest books ever written. Pilgrim's Progress. One day, you and I will hear the final last trumpet when the battle against evil is over and the captain of the Lord of hosts gathers us together to meet him in the air. But even now, we can listen for it, knowing that the trumpet will sound and it will be a call to life and new beginnings. So now in this old age, we hear the trumpet call to battle in the midst of intransient souls against spiritual forces that animate those poor souls. And as we wait the last trumpet of God, we live in the days of grace. And we do battle for the salvation of souls. And there are great victories when men, women, and children escape the clutches of sin and come over to Jesus, who loves them. Now, the book of Acts and all of church history tells us that's the day which we live. We live in the days of battle, those seven trumpets. Our great weapon in those days is the good news of Jesus. And the church goes forth in faith and triumph. Souls, listen, souls will be won to Jesus this day. Even now, the battle is fierce, and the warfare is long, and our temptation is to give up. But then, it stills on our ear the distant triumph song. And may I add here, the sound of that last trumpet. And our hearts are brave again, and our arms are strong. So the next time you're in Israel, at King David Hotel, think of that ram's horn. Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd give us souls. Give to the church souls again. Thousands, Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. We love you because we know you hear our prayers. Father, we pray that you'd give us souls. And Father, even in these days when you deal severely with men, we ask that you'd give us souls. Father, we pray for days of triumph in your church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.